Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and I told you a while back I've been praying about a missions emphasis Sunday, and even I think I mentioned it last week, and so I do want to place the emphasis today upon missions, and that's the most important, that's the most exciting thing we do is what we do with missions and missionaries, and many are involved in Faith Promise missions, and it's God's way of getting missionaries to the field. But I want to preach this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and you pray with us this morning that God would speak to our hearts. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. The last chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I want to read just a few verses, maybe verse 13 down through verse number 18. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord, here in this nation. You have blessed us so much. And Lord, here where we live with the gospel and churches and salt, Lord, all round about us, God, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this community and this church, Lord, in this community, God, and all the churches and all your preachers, and God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which changed our life, saved us, set us on the way to heaven, Lord, we thank you for that. Gave us a home in heaven, assured and eternal. We thank you for that. Thank you for, Lord, what we learned in Sunday school this morning, God, about you going to the cross and giving your blood there for our sins that we might be saved. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and just continue to meet with us and manifest thyself here today. Lord, help me as I stand to break the bread of life. And Lord, just give liberty as only you can. Speak to our hearts and have your way as only you can. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I want us to read verse number 17 one more time. That's what I want to try to preach out of this morning. The Bible says in verse 17, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." And here we read of three men, and they were a great blessing to the missionary ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in verse number 17, and I'd never noticed this before, but it said, "For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I want to try to preach on the subject of supply. And when God laid this message on my heart, I guess maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, the thought came to my mind on just preaching a message on supply. I thought to myself, Lord, how in the world have I never seen this before? I mean, this is so simple and to me so very interesting, but I don't think even thought about preaching a message on the subject of supply. Now, those of you that know me, you know that I think I know a little bit about supply. The very first real job I ever had in my life, I worked at a building supply. Worked there all through high school. And I even had one of those situations when I was a senior where I'd go to school half a day, and at 11:30 I'd get off, and I'd run down to, remember when Racks used to be over there, that place in Boone, right down from the entrance of the high school? And I'd get out of school and I'd run down there and I'd run through the drive-thru and I'd get me a ham sandwich and I'd run to work and I'd be there at 12 and 12 to 5:30 and I did that my whole senior year. I worked at a building supply and I had all throughout high school and then I went in the Air Force and you know, when I was in the Air Force, I was a material storage and distribution specialist. You know what that is? That's a fancy word for supply. I was in supply. That's what I did when I was in the Air Force. And then I got out of the Air Force. That's where the Lord called me to preach. And I came back and I preached and I had a job. I worked full time. I worked over at the college a few years. And when I was over there, I was in food services. And when I was in food services, I had a vending route and I was in supply. That's what I did. I had my own stock. I had my truck. I kept up with it and inventory and supplying those vending machines. And then a few years after that, I managed a building supply. And those of you that know me, you know that at one time, for a few years, I even owned a building supply. So with my background in supply, you would think that if anybody had ever made a biblical connection, that surely I'd have made that connection a long time ago. But the Lord just showed this to me a few weeks ago, and I even believe there's a reason why it took so long to see it. But by way of introduction this morning, in the Word of God, there's three words that are associated with the word supply. There's the word supplied, as we see it here in verse number 17. There's the word supplieth in the Word of God, and there's the word supply. The word in those variations you'll find nine times in the Word of God. The word nine in the Bible, or the number nine in the Bible, is the number of fruitfulness. And the word supply is directly tied in with missionaries and the support of missionaries. And I say the support right there, and that's the way we say it. We say support the pastor. We say support missions, support missionaries. You know, the word support is only found two times in the Word of God, and it doesn't have anything to do with supporting pastors or missionaries. Two times in the Bible, Acts 20 and 1 Thessalonians 5, two times you find the word support. It says support the weak. You said, yes, that is about pastors. Well, that's up to, you know. That's not what it's talking about. But we shouldn't be saying support missionaries, support the pastor, support the work of God. We should actually, if we're going to be scriptural in our language, we should be using the word supply, because that's what we're doing. We're supplying a need that someone has. And the word supply means to fill up. It means to fill up as any deficiency happens, to furnish what is wanted or needed. To furnish what is wanted or needed. And I'm going to show you three things this morning on the subject of supply. First of all, I want you to see the stigma of supply. Now, to have a stigma about something, it means to have a mark or a blemish, to have a reproach, to have a mark against or a blot upon something. And there's a stigma that is associated with supply. Now, it's very interesting. Those of you that's been in the military, you know how it is. I was in the United States Air Force, and as soon as somebody who was not in the military, they find out that you were in the Air Force, first thing they ask you, they say, were you a pilot? Did you enjoy flying? I'll tell you, when I was in the Air Force, I flew very little. I flew to basic training on a commercial flight, and I flew from Philadelphia to England, and I was 3 years over there, and we flew to Greece one time on vacation, but I never flew but one time in any of Uncle Sam's planes. That was not what I did in the Air Force. I didn't fly. I wasn't a pilot. There's all kinds of, you've seen those Air Force commercials, there's all kinds of interesting and jobs in the Air Force. I mean, you can be in the flight crew. You can be pararescue. That's the Green Berets of the Air Force. You can work on missiles. You can work on radar. You can be an air traffic controller. You can be a mechanic on jets and a policeman. And I mean, there's all kinds of interesting things to do in the Air Force. But when somebody asks me, they say, well, if you didn't fly, what did you do? And I would answer, and I always hate to be asked that, because I say, I was in supply. And they say, oh. And they don't say anything else about it. Why don't they say anything else about it? Because being in supply is nothing glamorous about it. It's boring as all get out. It's a thankless job. Nobody wants to do it. And those who were in the military, those who were in the Air Force, they are even worse to talk to about it, because they know, if they were in the military, they know that there's only two ways to get into supply. One, you can be demoted, you can be busted, or you can just be flat out unable to do any other kind of a job. When I ended up in supply, I found out there was a lot of people that were in supply that used to be in something else, and maybe they got busted for drinking and driving, or maybe they were just incompetent on the job, but they'd been in the Air Force long enough, they didn't want to kick them out, so they'd given something else to do, and they'd put them in supply. That's where they'd end up. It's like the bad news bears of the military. It's like nobody. And then there's another way to get in supply. I found out when I got over there in England and got to talking to some of the other fellas, we'd ask each other, you know, did you want to be in supply? No, I didn't want to be in supply. I didn't want to be in supply. I wanted to be an air traffic controller. And that's what I told my recruiter. I said, you know, he said, what do you want to be? And he asked me what I'd done. And I told him, you know, well, I can drive a forklift. I can load a truck, unload a truck, take a delivery, open a box, put it on the shelf, get it off, load it up, take it out. I said, I know all about that, but I don't want to do that. That's why I'm joining the Air Force. I'd like to be an air traffic controller. I don't know why I wanted to do that. I was 18 years old, 17 really, when I started it. You know, I didn't want to do what I was doing. I was in supply. And I talked to him there, and you know, a lot of people would get a guaranteed job. And I tell you, if you're interested, you'd better get a guaranteed job. Brother Phillips had some experience as well, evidently. But I told him that's what I wanted to be, and he said, well, that job's not open right now. He said, but if you'll go in open general, that's what they called it. If you'll go in open general, when you get down to Lackland Air Force Base, you just tell them you'd like to be an air traffic controller, and I'm sure by then there'll be an opening, and they'll put you in. And you know, I got to talking to the guys that went to England with me, and I said, you want to be in supply? No, I want to be something else. But my recruiter talked me into going in open general, and I ended up here. And so those that were in supply and had been there a long time, they had all laughed. You know what? The only way to get in supply... It's like in the Bible, those that believe the lie of the Antichrist. You just tell them what you want to do. And so everybody that went in open general, they end up in supply. You know why? Because nobody joins the military and says, you know, I'd like to be in supply. Nobody wants to be in supply. That is at the bottom of the chain. It's at the bottom of the rung of the ladder. I'm telling you, I was just as much a member of the United States Air Force as the colonel who was the base commander. I signed my name on the line. I took an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. I sacrificed. I left my family. I did my job. I went to work. All of those things. I was just as much a member as he was, but I'll tell you, I didn't feel like it very much, because other people in the military, they sort of looked down on supply. They sort of looked down, and you sort of expected if you was in supply that you was a misfit or an outcast or something like that. I didn't feel like I was respected very much. A lot of times I felt sort of like Rodney Dangerfield did, you know. He said, I don't get no respect. And that's how it is if you're in supply. I'm going somewhere with this morning. And so that's how I felt. No respect and at the bottom of the ladder and nobody cares about or wants to be in supply. Now let me tell you something this morning. What if I told you that if you are here every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you're a faithful church member and you are here and you tithe and you give to Faith Promise Missions faithfully, and let me tell you something this morning. I'm not talking about being in the reserves. Some church members are in the reserves. You know what I'm talking about? One weekend a month. They can call it the being in the military if you want to, but I just don't think you can be very much involved in knowing what's going on one weekend a month in anything. But that's how a lot of church members are. You know, they're about a quarter church member. You know, we have 12 or 14 services a month, and they'll make about four of them. You know what? There's a lot of people that goes to church on Sunday morning. If we handled snakes on Wednesday night, they wouldn't know it. Brother Philip, you better look around real good if you want to meet everybody, because I'm telling you, some of them won't be back tonight. They're in the reserves. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the ones that are here and you're faithful, and maybe in your mind and in your heart you think, you know, preacher, I'd like to do something for God, but, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I can't sing. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in churches. They are there. They help. They give. They're a blessing. They're support to the pastor and the ministry. And what if I told you this morning, you know, what you're in? You're in supply. I left a little blank space there in my notes because I figured when I said that there'd be a lot of people jump up and shout. Woo! Praise God. We're in supply after what the preacher just told us about that, and we're supposed to be happy and thrilled about being in supply. Maybe that doesn't make you jump up and shout this morning, and I can see sort of why maybe you're not too excited about it. I mean, after all, preacher, the word isn't even mentioned until way over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. You know what? If the Bible was a movie, if 1 Corinthians was a movie, the main feature would have been chapter number 15. Talking about the rapture, and he's going to come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and we which are alive and remain. Boy, that's shouting ground right there, man. That's good stuff. In chapter 16, it'd be the credits. You know, he's just thanking a few people for what they've done and telling them about some work to go on there and, you know, where he's going to be next, and he'll pick up the offering when he gets there and take it on down to Jerusalem. I mean, a lot of people, they probably said this morning, is there a chapter 16 in there? A lot of people maybe don't even realize what's going on in chapter number 16. Maybe you think, you know, that you're not doing nothing in the work of God very much, and there's something else you'd like to do and just don't know what and all like that. But I want to tell you this morning, I want to share with you that I believe with all my heart that God calls people to supply, and it is just as necessary as anything else that goes on in the work of God. There must be, just like any other venture out here in the world, there must be a source of supply. Don't you think something is wrong with being in God's supply troops? I'll tell you this morning. But first of all, there's the stigma of supply. Maybe you don't see it like I do, but you've got a stigma, and I want to help you get that out. You know, that's where the word stigmatism comes from. And when a person has a stigmatism, they've got something in their eye and they can't see. There's a stigma of supply. But second of all, this morning, I want to show you there is the significance of supply. The significance of supply. Now, when I joined the Air Force and I ended up in supply, I'll tell you, I resented it at first. I did. When I was in basic training and all the people we'd went through training with, and they were all getting their jobs at the end and finding out where they were going to go to tech school. You know, me and a few other boys, we didn't get no orders to go to no tech school. And I remember the drill sergeant laughing about it. They said, they're not quite ready with your jobs yet. So we had to hang around, wait a few days. Everybody else wait. I'm going to be an aircraft mechanic, and I'm going to technical school, and it's 18 months, and I'm going to wherever in the world, and us boys over there, and we didn't have nowhere to go. And then we found it out we was going to supply. And I wasn't thrilled about that. And then I found out not only that, I didn't get my first choice of going to Wilmington, North Carolina, or South Carolina, somewhere close to home. They're sending me to England, and I didn't even know where it was on the map. I mean, I'll be honest, I resented it, and I felt betrayed. I was already in supply. I could have stayed at home and been in supply. I could have had Mama's gravy and biscuits every Saturday morning and chocolate gravy. But I'm sleeping in a dorm with a bunch of smelly men and doing a job. There's not even a school for it. You just go to work. They just sent us right over there to England, and we just went right to work, and they gave us a little book to study. I'd been in supply. I didn't want to be in supply again. I hated supply. I'd already knew how to drive a forklift and unload a truck and open a box and put it on the shelf and take it off and take it out again and all that bunch of stuff. And I felt betrayed. And I'm sure, I know this morning that I had a bad attitude because everybody just about that I worked with had a bad attitude because they all felt that way. We were the dirty dozen. Bad news bears, the bottom of the rung. They called, we just had green uniforms back then, and they called, if you weren't sharp and polished, and see, we had to work every day. We didn't go to an office, and we got dirty, and they called us the hefty trash bags. What a blessing. Now, I'll be honest, I sort of felt betrayed about all of that stuff. And I'm sure it came out in my attitude, but I'll tell you, I had one sergeant that was what we call then, he was eat up with it. He was proud to be in supply. He ironed his uniform, creased his sleeves, walked around like he owned the place, and he's a black fella. And let me tell you something, his name, get this, his name was Sergeant Dove. And he had a talk with me and helped open my eyes to what we was really doing one day. Let me tell you something. In the Word of God, you know what a dove is a type of? A dove is a type of the Holy Ghost of God. And I'll tell you this morning, if the Holy Ghost of God would show you really what it means to be in supply, you would never see it any other way. And old Sergeant Dove came to me and he called me Rob. Nobody calls me Rob. Robert. He said, Robert, walk with me. That's what he'd do. And so what'd you do? You better walk with him. And he took me through the warehouse one day. And we had big old receiving doors in the warehouse. It's a brand new multi-million dollar warehouse with all the bells and whistles and everything. And he said, Robert, let me show you something. He said, through those doors comes everything that is needed on this base. He said, without us and what we do, he said, the commissary doesn't have any food to put on the shelves. He said, without us and what we do, the hospital doesn't have any medicine to treat their patients. He said, you see them airplanes out there flying around and all them Kwanzaa huts and big hangars. He said, without us, there's no parts to go on them planes. He said, you see all them vehicles running up and down the base. He said, without us, there's no fuel to put in those vehicles. He said, you see the offices and the buildings over there. He said, without us, there's no paper, there's no pens, there's no computers, there's no filing cabinets, there's no chair to sit in. He said, without us, the mission can't go on. Boy, I'll tell you, after that, I got eat up. I said, you know what? What I am doing is important. Other people may not look at me and they may say, well, he's just in supply, but I begin to take my job very seriously, and I realized as he took me around and showed me how very important our job of supply was, and I, from that point on, tried to be the best I could. Look over in chapter 15, verse 58. Let me show you something. I said chapter 15 would be the main feature. My goodness, what a great theme. Chapter number 15, the transformation that takes place at the rapture. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let me tell you something. When Paul wrote the letter, there's no chapters. Just went right on. Wasn't chapter 15, division, chapter 16, start. Just went right on. And he said, they're always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And I'll tell you right there, it's where a lot of Baptists get the water bucket thrown on them. Oh, we'll shout about the Lord coming, but now talking about a collection or tithing or supporting missions, preacher, that don't thrill me. But let me tell you, the work of God is so woven together with the supply that we put forth and what we put in and missionaries going to the field and all. You cannot separate the work of the Lord with the collection for the saints. And Paul didn't say, now, this is spiritual and this is not. He just went right on now concerning the collection of the saints. Chapter number 16 is about the work of the Lord. Verse 58 says, be ye steadfast. And chapter number 16, verse 13 said, watch ye stand fast in the faith. He said, oh, I wish God had called me to do something. I could go somewhere, do something. Hey, what if I told you this morning God's called every one of us to be a giver? And if you're a giver this morning, you are involved in the work of the Lord because you're in supply. And you can't do anything without supply. The work of God depends upon it. Missionaries can't go. Preachers can't pastor. Bibles and tracts can't be bought and on and on and on. We could go this morning. You know, one time when I was over in England, and I went through a period where I worked nights. I had become a senior airman, and I'd been there quite some time. And they gave me responsibility because I did my very best in my job and shined my shoes and respected those in authority and all of those things. And they let me do things and gave me jobs. And man, what a blessing it was. I don't care what you do. Do your best. God will bless you in it. And I got to work nights. I loved working nights. I'd go in my little backpack, my Bible. That's where God got a hold of my heart. But I was sitting there one night and call came down. Somebody had a MICAP delivery. Now, I can't remember what that stands for, but that was utmost priority. If you had a MICAP delivery, you had to get it, I mean, quick, fast as you can. Somebody somewhere really needs this bad. Thing is, they abused it, you know, so they could go home on the weekend. But in the middle of the night, if you got a MICAP, that really might be something important. So I got a MICAP delivery, and I remember I grabbed that thing off the computer. I ran out into the warehouse. I grabbed a part off of a shelf. It's just a little old bag with a little old part in it. I don't even know what it was. And I went out, and I jumped in my truck, and I went from Bentwaters over to Woodbridge. It's twin bases there. And I had to go right out on the flight line. And when I got out there, I thought, this is different. It's a big old C-130 sitting out there on the airstrip ready to go. Boy, if you've ever heard them things, I mean, it's exciting. And that's about as exciting as my job ever went. And I got to go right out on the flight line. There's a guy met me out there. As soon as I got out, he come over, got that part, signed my paperwork, and he said, thanks, and he was gone and got in that thing. And by the time I got out of the way, he had ran, got in the thing, and they was taxiing, and I pulled off the side, watched them take off. See, they had training exercises and stuff all the time. I didn't know what it was. For all I know, the pilot forgot the keys, and I had to bark. I didn't know. I didn't think much about it. I went on about my job, went home that next morning when I got off work, and slept during the day, went back that following night, and the talk was on the base. They saying, "Did you hear what the PJ's done last night? That's pararescue. It's Green Beret of the Air Force, and ships down, helicopter crashes, they'll go in and rescue people." And they said, "You hear what the PJ's done last night?" I said, "No, I don't know what they do." There was a ship in trouble. See, I was in England, it's an island. There was a ship got in trouble, and I forget exactly what happened, but the pararescue men went out there and rescued the people that were on that ship in trouble and whatever their trouble was. And my goodness, it was a big deal. You didn't have that very much, and everybody was talking about it, and there was even a write-up in the paper about it. And I remember thinking, you know, when I read that in the paper, I said, "Nobody knew it, but there's a waiting on me. There's a waiting on me, buddy. They couldn't do a thing. I don't know what I had in that little bag, but buddy, I'm telling you, they're sitting there, and man is glad to see me when I showed up." I didn't even know it. I didn't know it. And man, you know, that article in the paper didn't mention a thing about me hurrying up and getting their keys over there so they could take off. You know, we've got a missionary with us this morning, Brother Brown, and you've seen his presentation there. God has called him. God has called him and other missionaries to go. There's people that are lost and need to be rescued. Brother, what are you waiting on? Why ain't you out there? What are you waiting on? Supply. The work of God can't go on without supply. Somebody, these missionaries, man, they're ready to go. They prayed, they're prepared, they packed, they've had the yard sale, they're running up and down the road. Man, they'd like to go tomorrow, but they can't go. Why not, preacher? They're waiting on supply to get there and come through with what they need. And you and I are supply. That's what God has called us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 9, chapter 8 and chapter 9 is the next time you find the word supply, and that is the faith promise mission scripture in the Word of God. Here in verse number 17, you can turn over there in a minute, but I'll tell you, Paul said, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." I'll tell you who's glad to see supply coming. Paul was. These fellas you've never heard of in the Word of God, let me tell you something. The word Stephanus, you know what that means? That means crowned. He's going to be a crown for old Stephanus. And you know what Fortunatus means? That's where our word fortunate comes from. Praise God, in the work of God, you're a prince. You're fortunate to take part in the work of God and what He's doing and getting the gospel out and being a blessing to the missionary Apostle Paul. He said, "Oh, I tell you what, I was glad to see them fellas coming. They, what was lacking on your part, they have supplied." Missionaries love supply troops. Other people may not. But missionaries do. Preachers do. You say, "Oh, preacher, well, that's all right, but that still doesn't press my button very much." Let me show you one more thing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to show you this morning, there is the sovereign of supply. There's the stigma of supply. There's the significance of supply. Nothing gets done without supply. But then there's the sovereign of supply. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, Paul wrote a second letter to the Corinthians over there. And he wrote them about this great church in Macedonia. He said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And he just goes down through there and he brags on them for about 14 verses. He said in verse number 14, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And he writes about these churches, but especially one in Macedonia, and he brags on them, and he just tells the people at Corinth, he said, let me tell you about this church. Man, they just gave and gave and gave. They were such a blessing to me and my ministry, and he's holding them up as an example. And he says in chapter 8 and verse number 2, how that they gave sacrificially. It said, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He said, let me tell you, Corinthians, something. The economy is all to pieces in Macedonia. And they were in a great trial of affliction and poverty, but they gave. They gave to get the gospel out. They gave sacrificially, and that's what Faith Promise Missions is. And also he tells about how they gave cheerfully. I love verse number 4. It said, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And when Paul came through, the pastor didn't say, now Paul, let me look at my date book. I can't get you in this year, but maybe next year I can let you come by the church. When Paul came by, they said, come on, brother, praise God, we're glad to see you. Man, we're excited about what you're doing. Here. We want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you to get the gospel out. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. It's the most exciting thing we do. Give and take a part in the work of God. They gave cheerfully. They gave personally in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's the first step. Getting involved in the work of God, give yourself. The man is the money. Money is the man. What I mean by that, how you spend your money, that tells what you are. Tells what you are. What you're involved in, what you invest in, what you spend your time in. But they were interested in getting the gospel out and helping Paul in his missionary endeavors there. And Paul is telling them about this great church in Macedonia. And you know, we learn about that church in another book in the Bible. Paul wrote to that church in Macedonia and he told them how much he loved them and what a blessing they had been to him and how God, you know what? He gets all the way down to the end and just almost before he signs his name, he told that church that loved him so much, he said, oh, by the way, let me tell you something. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Man, I'll tell you, it'll help you if you find out who's in supply with you. God's in supply. God is in the supply business. God is in the business of meeting the needs of his children. When they follow him and do what he... And that is a promise to the mission-minded church. Don't you go claiming what's not yours in the Word of God. Oh, I don't know why God don't bless me. Maybe because you don't give God 2 cents worth of time in all the time that you have. And God's at the bottom of the list and not the top. But to the Philippians, God was at the top of the list and getting the gospel out was at the top. Paul said, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Boy, I get a blessing out of that. God, my God is in the supply business. I was thinking last night, I was studying for this last night, and I got so wound up, I went to bed. My mind's running over and over in my mind. And 12 o'clock, I went to bed, and I'm laying down. Man, if I'd have shouted, Kim would have killed me. She's a touchy person to sleep with. You better watch out. And I didn't want to bother her. After a while, I'd rolled around. I got back up. Man, I was sitting there on the couch. I got to think about all the years that we've served the Lord. We first learned about Faith Promise Missions over there in England, and we took such a tiny little baby step of faith. We thought, with this, we'll never be able. Boy, a year went by, we never missed a thing. Amen. Next year, we more than doubled, almost tripled what we gave that first year. Never missed it. And every year since then, no matter what the economy's done, no matter what jobs have done, no matter where we were, missionaries, pastoring a church, God has been faithful and blessed us. Boy, God will bless you. You get in there and fall in love with the things of God and put His business first and make it a priority in your life. And I tell you what, I cannot brag upon the Lord enough this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:6 said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And I'll tell you, God has blessed us so much down through the years. I heard a preacher say this. He said, if you'll get serious about following God and fall in love with Him and give to His cause, and he said, here's what God will do. He said, God will sneak up behind you and fill your pockets so full that your britches will fall off. If you see me wearing baggy pants, that's why. God has blessed me so much. Brother Jason's up here bragging on the Lord. You know, when he left the other night, I felt so sorry for him. But and he texted me back and said, sorry. And I thought, man, he drove all the way over here. But I thought, you know, God knows what He's doing. The thing could have fell off at any other time. But see, what God was doing was putting together a meeting. And He knew who had to part. He knew where you was going to be, and He knew where you was going to be, and God just supplied. He's been trying to do what the Lord wanted to do. He's been trying to do what God wanted to do. And I'll tell you what, if you'll get in the business of doing what God wants you to do, you won't have to lay awake at night and fret and worry and roll over about the stock market falling all to pieces. You can say, it is well with my soul. Be all right, because my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I couldn't brag on Him enough this morning. I'll tell you, we've had a rough year and a half, 2 years, 3 years now, economy and all of that stuff. And we've needed another vehicle. We've been talking about it for 6 or 8 months, and every time we'd talk about it, I'd say, I know we're going to need a vehicle, but I said, ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm going in debt right now for nothing. Not a tricycle. I said, I just ain't going to do it. I said, Kim, we're just going to trust God when the time is right. God will give us what we need. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of you sneaky church. Brother Philip, this is, I'll tell you, for good people, they lie more than anybody I've ever seen. I'll tell you what, and Brother Rodney kidnapped me. Thought I was going to Georgia to help him bring a car back. And he got me way down below Gastonia, and he said, now, preacher, I'm going to tell you, this car is for you. I said, brother, if we get it or not, the fact that you thought about me. And Brother Philip, they bought me a car to drive to school to teach the Word of God, help young preachers get the gospel out and be a blessing to us. I tell you, church, this morning, I appreciate you. See, God uses people. God uses people. A lot of people are going to the mailbox looking for a letter from old Ed McMahon. Isn't he dead? Thought he was. But I ain't looking in the mailbox for Ed McMahon to meet my needs. I'm looking to the one that makes the sun come up in the morning. Gives the birds what they need to eat. Close the field. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, man, I could brag on God. Kim said the other day, she said, I wish you'd have wrote all this down years ago. We usually go for a walk every day. I mean, big things, little things, it don't matter to God. And we was going to go on our walk. We headed out and we talked. And I'll just pray. And so we start walking. And I said, dear Lord, I said, you know what we need today. I said, God, we're trying to can, and man, God's blessed us so much, and we'd run out of jars, and none of our neighbors had any jars, and I'd pick some beans, and they was ready, and I said, God, I need some jars. And I said, and Kim said, and then I started talking to Kim, and she said, are you praying or talking? And I said, oh, I'm done praying. I'm talking to you now. And I said, look, we'll just see how God supplies, because we didn't have time to run, get, and buy, and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, within 15 minutes, my mom come down the road and in her car. And I said, you got any jars? And she jumps out of her car. And she runs right around to the back and opens it up, pulls out a case of jars, put it right in my hands. And I was going up a road. I was going up a road and I looked over at Kim and I was grinning great big. I said, God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer. All I needed was a few jars. Give us all the jars we need. Boy, my God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Giving to missions is not about what God can get from you. It's about going to the bank of heaven and talking with the administrator about what he can put through you. That's the only credit I'm interested in tonight. Is God, what do you want me to do for missions? If you'll give it to me, I'll give it. God says, I like that. I can trust that fella. I'll give him. I'll bless him till his pants falls off. He'll just give it. I can't tell you how many, and I'm not bragging on me. I can't tell you how many times, though, God has spoke to me, and I've give everything I had in my wallet. God just give it right back. I've give it. And before the day is over, God will give it back and more. I just love to see what God does. I mean, he just amazes me. It's like he knows everything or something. Yeah, knows what you need and when you need it. It's like he's God or something. Boy, he's good. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.